Oh man, good morning guys, how are you? There's something different about the first service. I gotta say, there's a different little sauce going on here. A little bit more joy. I'm excited to be here. Hello to everybody on the live stream. Thank you for tuning in. Like Pastor Paul said, my wife and I have been coming here for the last 2 years, and we've been involved a little bit before then. Love Hope Chapel so much, and really, I love Pastor Paul, okay? He is so faithful to week in and week out pull the deep things of the Bible and make it so easy for all of us. It's incredible. So I've done my best to try and channel my inner Pastor Paul this morning. As you can see, I got my Vans on, okay? He's always rocking the Vans. I went simple, blue jeans. Sometimes he does gray, but I stuck with blue. I got my button-down shirt, got my fancy watch, okay? Trying to get there, all right? And in Pastor Paul fashion, I got a little story for you guys, all right? So, minister dies. Sad, yes. But he's waiting at the pearly gates. And ahead of him is a guy who's dressed in sunglasses. He's got a nice loud shirt, leather jacket, wearing jeans. And St. Peter addresses this man. He said, "Who are you, so that I may know whether or not to let you into the kingdom of heaven?" The guy replies, "I'm Joe Cohen. I'm a taxi driver from New York." St. Peter is like, okay. And he looks at his list, and he looks up and he smiles. He said, "Take this silken robe, this golden staff, and enter the kingdom of heaven." And so Joe takes his stuff and he rolls on. And so next is the minister's turn, and he's getting pretty excited. And St. Peter says, "Tell me who you are, so I may let you know if you're meant to go in the kingdom of heaven." And he stands very strong with his chest out. He says, "I'm William Snow, pastor of Calvary Church for the last 43 years. So St. Peter looks at his list. He looks up. He says, "Take this cotton robe and this wooden staff and enter the kingdom of heaven." The minister says, "Just a minute, St. Peter. That man was a taxi driver. He gets a silken robe and a golden staff? How can this be?" Well, St. Peter says, "Up here, William, Willie, works a little different. While you preached, people slept. But while he drove, people prayed." Love you, Pastor Paul. Hope you saw that one. I got him laughing. That's all I wanted to do, is get you guys laughing. So we can stop now. We're good. Oh, man. So a couple weeks ago, Pastor Paul said, "Hey, I would love for you to preach." And I said, "Well, there's some big shoes to fill, but I'll do my best." And as the January series has been going, we've been talking about good habits, giving Christ more in 2024. And so I wanted to talk this morning about the habit of sacrifice. The habit of sacrifice. I'm going to jump right in, if you guys don't mind. Romans 12. "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living sacrifice, a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him." So when I say the word sacrifice, I'm sure a lot of us think of a lot of different things. And maybe it's not the nicest word in the vocabulary when it comes to you. And we've all had different, you know, sacrifice asked of us, kind of from small things to great things. Maybe a sacrifice that you had this week was sitting down on the couch, long day, and you hear those sweet little words, "Honey, can you help with the dishes, please?" Right? It's a little bit of a sacrifice. Got to get up, got to help. Or maybe the boss, the end of the week, is like, "Can you stay a little bit extra and help finish this project that we're doing?" Oh, okay. That's a sacrifice, right? Or maybe, like me, just 2 nights ago, get a text from a buddy, "Hey, my ride dropped. Can you get me at LAX tonight at 11:30 p.m.? Oh, yes, of course. That's a sacrifice, right? Smaller sacrifice, but still a sacrifice. And there's bigger ones. My brother-in-law, who lives in England, he saw a man who was verbally abusing a woman in the streets. And he went over to him and just was like, "This is the right thing to do. I'm going to tell him to stop." The guy turns around, punches him in the jaw, breaks his jaw. It's a sacrifice, right? He stood up for what was right. He got punished for it, right? Or maybe you know someone, or you yourself have donated blood, donated an organ, right? Actually given of your physical self a sacrifice, or maybe you know someone who paid the ultimate price, was gave of their life in war or in a firefighter or a police officer, like really giving of their life. Those are all different types of sacrifices, and whether they're large or small, all sacrifices have the same thing, right? Sacrifice is always costly. That's what makes it sacrifice. If there's no cost, right, then it's not truly a sacrifice. And sacrifice might not be our first choice, right? Might not be something that we run towards. But if our theme is giving Christ more in 2024, then I believe that there's going to be an opportunity for all of us to sacrifice more, right? And that there's actually a measure of safety in being sacrificial for God and for others. Now, when Pastor Paul talks about giving Christ more, 2024, how many of you guys can't help but every time you write the date, right? I'm writing, you know, 1/22/24. Oh yeah, giving Christ more, 2024. It's so catchy. It's so, I love that little whoosh, grabs you in. But I've been thinking about it. What does it really mean to give Christ more? Giving Christ more. Does he need more? I don't think he needs anything more. He's the God of the universe. But I do know that he is deserving of more.
Yes, sir.
Do you know what I mean? He is deserving of more. He's deserving of more of our worship. And where does pure worship come from if not love? So if we want to give Christ more, it's impossible to give him more without loving him more. And that is really the true essence of giving Christ more, is his loving God. But I would argue that we cannot love God unless we first discern how much he actually loves us. We can't really give him the love that he is deserving of unless we truly understand how great and massive the love that he has for you and I. Now, you might be thinking, Jake, this is pretty simple stuff here, all right? I know that God loves me, known it for years. I've actually known it for longer than you've been alive, all right? All right, maybe some of you are thinking that, okay. I understand that. What I like to measure our knowledge is you measure your knowledge of something by the way that it impacts and transforms your life. So we may know it. We may know that God loves us, but how much has it changed our lives? Are we easily offended by others? If we are, then there's more of God's love for us, because his love changes us and it causes us to be patient and kind to others. Yes. Are we thinking about like what other people are talking about us, right? Is our mind constantly on those things? Well, then there's more of God's love for us, because his love causes us to know who we are outside of what others might be saying to us. Is our outlook on life negative? If it is, then I believe there's more of God's love for us, because his love instills a faith and a hope that leads to peace and positivity. Amen. So there's lots of different steps. And this first step, right? This first step is we have to let God love us. The four steps to the habit of sacrifice. Let God love you. It's the best one. It's so nice to just receive love from the Father. But I want to get specific, right? Loving God more first means that we have to let him love us. And how does the Father love us? Let's go to probably the most famous verse in all of at least Western Christianity. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he sent his Son. Why did he send his Son? To be an atoning sacrifice. That was it. He sent his Son so that Jesus could model what it means to be a sacrifice and be a sacrifice that makes us right in the Father's eyes. Now, I want to be pretty specific. Right? There's a few verses out there, and many of you guys that know the Bible, read it more than me, is coming to mind. Wait a second, Jake. I thought that Jesus said God desires obedience, not just sacrifice. Go and learn what this means. So why are we talking so much about sacrifice? I love that. I think that's very important. But it's important to know that in that context, Jesus was talking about sacrifice as a list of to-dos that the Levites and the Pharisees would do in the sacrificial system. See, they would cut the throats of goats and they would burn the wheat and they would do all the things, but their hearts were far away. Their hearts were far away. They could offer a sacrifice of a lamb, but then they would not give to the needy. So they were doing things from a place of duty, but they weren't actually carrying the heart of what God had intended. And so it's important to know that Jesus walked in a way of obedience to the Father. And that love perfectly displayed was obedience unto sacrifice, not just sacrifice alone. And how did Jesus walk out this perfect obedience to the Father? His obedience was from a place of knowing the Father's love. Without love, all of our righteous acts are from a place of duty, right? Jesus would say, I and the Father are one together. And they were one because of the love that he knew that he had from the Father and because of the love that Jesus had for the Father. Isn't it crazy that we describe becoming one in marriage, right? The two shall become one. And the way that you say yes to someone is you lay down your life for them. It's that you say, I'm going to love you no matter what. And we all know that duty is very important. Duty is very important. But though it's powerful, duty fades. It has to have a foundation of love. When I've talked to men and women who have been in war and have been in the army, there's often this idea that it was our duty to go overseas. And I respect that. And I believe that's true. But when you dig a little deeper, that duty was driven by knowing that my wife and my kids are back home and I'm doing this for them. That duty was driven by I have a community that I want to protect. And so there was a true foundation of love. So when the duty is there, but the love's not there, it's like duty without love is like a volunteer who shows up, but then leaves before the end of the event. They come and they're excited, but then they don't really want to stay. And so the minute they get bored, instead of sacrificing and staying, they just head out. They don't really care about the cause. Duty without love, and maybe you have been on one of these, and I hope it's not been this week, but it's like a date without a meaningful conversation where you just got the pasta and you're eating, right? And it's you're out there, someone's paying for the check, and it just kind of feels a little awkward, right? You're just kind of going through the motions. Or duty is like love. Duty without love is like a marriage that has lost its spark. You're just kind of tolerating each other, right? The desire to discover one another's heart, it's just not there anymore. And that's what we have to be careful of, that we don't just go through a religious exercise, that we just perform these duties, but not truly giving the Father and knowing his love for us. So the Father's love was revealed through the cross. And we know that Jesus had such a specific mindset when it came to the cross. And it says in Hebrews 12:2, that we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Jesus endured the cross because he knew how much his Father loved you, loved me. Jesus looked at the pain that was coming, the shame, he just disregarded it, the nails, the beatings. He said, oh, that's completely worth it because I know how much my Father loves you. And because my Father loves you, I am compelled, therefore, also to love you. And when we see that kind of love, then we have to walk it out. There has to be action behind it. So step two in this habit of sacrifice, that we can't love God without loving others, right? Right? We all know that, super, super basic, but it's so important and so foundational. When we know that Christ's obedience unto sacrificial love, when we know that, we can't help but follow it into action. John 14:15 says, if you love me, obey my commands. What is the greatest commandment? It's a twofold commandment. And it's Matthew 22:37-40. Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. So we love God to the measure of our understanding of how he loves us. And we also love people to that same measure as well. So if we have a distorted understanding of God's love for us, then we will unfortunately have a distorted way that we love others. That's why it's important to know God's love. If we think that God is only pleased with us when we have our act together, when we're doing pretty good, when we're not sinning or we're not slipping up, then anytime we encounter somebody who tests our patience, who's struggling, who maybe doesn't follow through with their word or who doesn't treat us the way that we think they should, then our love also will be lacking to them because we have a distorted way of how God loves us. If we think that God conditional love. If we think that God loves us because we go to church, then it's going to be hard to love somebody if they miss church or if they're struggling to be around big crowds, right? If we think that God loves us because we've been following him longer than another person, which I think a lot of you in this room, all of you have been following, or many of you have been following Jesus longer than I've been alive, which is incredible. But if we think that that is what allows us to receive God's love, then it's going to be difficult for us to walk alongside of one who is younger in their faith, more immature, not really kind of drinking that spiritual milk. We'll get frustrated and we'll get tired with them. We'll think that, well, we're just better because we've been following Jesus longer, right? But if we know God's love deeply, then we will be moved and we will look at ways on how to give that love away, okay? Obedience to God involves loving others. John 15:9-14. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. And you are my friends if you do what I command. Loving God, yes, it is reading your Bible, 100%. It is praying. It is spending time in quiet with him. But if our loving God doesn't involve people, then we are missing it. Every time that I, try and love God and I remove people from that equation, I start to feel like I'm getting out of touch with God. Maybe I'm reading more of my Bible than ever before, but I'm kind of just turning my shoulder to people around me. I'm like, well, I'm doing this. How come I don't feel in touch with the Lord? Well, it might be because I didn't have my coffee that morning. No, I'm just kidding. That's not it, right? You feel out of touch with God. Oh, I didn't have my cup of coffee, right? Or, slept on the wrong side of the bed, Or, my kids were awake last night. True story. Praise God for little buddies. Love them so much. All of you are like, yeah, pay your dues, man. We all been there. Right? Feeling out of touch with God. I don't think it's because of those things. I think it might just be because God is asking us to turn around and say, I have opportunities for you. I have all these little things that I've prepared for you today to show my love and give my love to others. And I want to challenge myself, right? That the little moments of sacrifice that we face in our days are actually little moments to love Jesus more. I don't know about you, but when I think about what Christ has done for me, I want to love him more. I want to do it. And I'm like, well, how do I do that? Well, he's given us little moments of sacrifice in our day to show him our deep love, our deep affection towards him. And these are what I like to call the offerings of inconvenience. Step 3, the offerings of inconvenience. Philippians 2:4, it says, do not look out only for your own interests. Uh-oh. But take an interest in others too. This verse I have read for years, and this is one of the most convicting verses in the Bible for me personally. Do not look out for my own interests. God, do you know that I have a lot of interests? Like, there's a lot going on in my life. It's full on. No, Jake. No. You got to take interest in others as well. And in order to do that, we have to seek to discover the needs of others. How do we find out the interests of others? We have to be attentive to their needs. We have to put ourselves in positions where we see their needs. And here's a way that here's a way not to do that, right? You see somebody, you go, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing good. Okay, all right, have a good day. Boom, and you're out, right? Cordial, nice little touch, but that was it. There wasn't any lingering. There wasn't any perceiving. It was just kind of like, ha ha, ha ha, we'll stay at a distance and we'll smile, but we don't actually know what's going on inside. And in order to know what's going on inside, in order to love those painful parts, we have to look for them. We have to go after, and we have to consider those needs that others have. Now, a great convicting Bible story about this is the story of the Good Samaritan. And the Good Samaritan reminds us that being inconvenienced for a man who was in need is far more pleasing to the Father than any sort of religious duty. And the Good Samaritan was convenienced in a couple different ways. He put his well-being at risk, right? That path that they were going down was a very steep path, right? It was a very dangerous path. He was like, if I stop, maybe robbers are going to come. I don't know. Didn't care, right? He put his time in jeopardy. We don't know if he needed to get somewhere. He was like, I'm going to slow down and I'm going to look at what this guy needs. Whoever's coming, it's all right. Nothing's going to be shattered. They can wait, right? And he gave of his finances, all for somebody that he did not know. That is wild to me. He didn't even know him. It's like, I'm okay to like give money to my buddy. Isn't it so hard to give money to a stranger on the street? Well, who knows what they're going to use it for? Probably buy drugs. I've thought that so many times. And instead of just thinking that, oh, they're just going to waste it here. Oh, they're just going to use it in the wrong way. The Lord's like, I didn't ask you to tell them what to do with their money. I asked you to reveal my love. Would you trust me, Jake? Would you trust me with the money that I actually gave you and now I want you to give to that person? There's so many stories. One of Lauren Cunningham, who's gone home to be with Jesus this past year, but he remembers the Lord asking him to give $20 to a homeless person on the street. And I would imagine, 70, 60 years ago, $20 was a lot more than it is now. Inflation, right? And he did not want to give that money to this man because he didn't know what he was going to do with it. And he walked right by. And the Lord said, turn around, go give him the money. He turns around, he hands him the $20 bill. He said, the Lord has told me to give you this money. I don't know what you're going to do with it, but know that God wants you to have this. The man with tears in his eyes says, I have been trying to get into a home for recovery, and this is the exact amount that I need to get through the door to start my service. And Lauren would have never known that, and he could have missed out on an opportunity to help this guy start his life all over again. And that is exactly what happened. The man went through, and he got his life cleaned up together. We all remember moments in our life when that Good Samaritan found us. A lot of times we think, oh, I need to be the Good Samaritan. But often we were the one who was taken advantage of. We were the one who was beaten. We were the one who was left needy. I don't know if you've ever been in a place in your life where you feel that way, but I've more identified with the guy who got robbed. And I need help. Somebody in our life has stooped down, has come to us in our greatest time of need, given to us without ever asking for anything in return. And I get so pumped when I get to realize I get to be that to somebody. Because I remember how impactful it was to my life. And now if I get to in turn be that for somebody else, that is a reason to get up in the morning. That is a reason to keep my eyes peeled, to keep my ear to heaven, to listen to the Holy Spirit. Where is that? Who is that person in need today? And all it takes is a willingness to be inconvenienced. Don't let fear keep us from being Good Samaritans. And though the Good Samaritan was in a dangerous place, he was in the Father's will. And that is the safest place to be. So step four, the safety of sacrifice. I want to read Acts 20, 24. But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus. The work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. I'm reading through the New Testament in January. It's amazing. I had to read through Acts in 2 days. And reading it in such a short amount of time, it is wild. Like, Paul was a madman. He was crazy, right? Crazy for the Lord, right? But he was, his life is really incredible. Long journeys, received slander everywhere that he went. He had restless nights. He was hungry. All of those sacrifices unto the Lord, right? He was chased out of towns by mobs. He was beaten. Shipwrecks, imprisonment, all of those sacrifices to the Lord. Now, I look at my life, and I'm like, I've never been to prison before. Am I really loving God? Some of you, maybe you guys have been to prison. Hopefully it's for God and not other reasons. And if it is, then you know what? God's got his life all over you. And so I look at Paul's life and I'm like, am I really doing anything for the Lord, right? Am I really giving it my all? But I don't think Paul, if he would be standing here, he wouldn't want me to feel that way. He would want me to see his life as an invitation from the Lord. And the invitation is, would you make your life worth it? Would you make every single day worth it? Every single breath that you take has a use to finish the assignment on your life. Now, not all of us are called to be missionaries like Paul, but all of us are called to be on mission, whether that's in the work environment, whether that's in a school environment, whether that's in a community environment, we're all called to be on mission. And the joys of fulfilling our assignment are immense, and also the difficulties. The difficulties are real. We see Paul had difficulties. Every single one of us has difficulties, but we can take heart because Christ has overcome all of those difficulties. Now, I think a lot of people would tell Paul, hey, buddy, you're doing a little bit too much, right? It looks like you're going a little bit too hard. You need a little bit more self-care, Paul, all right? Could you just slow down a little bit? Could you just not be so driven? God's going to take care of it, Paul, right? And I think Paul would say, yes, I know that God is going to take care of it, but I am yoked to Christ. I am yoked with him, and I want to be with him wherever he would lead me, wherever he would go. And I am so thankful that Jesus does not regret, will not ever regret going to the cross. And if he goes to the cross and I am yoked to him, then I am ready to go to the cross as well. Then I am ready. I want to be ready to bear that cross. And there is safety in carrying your cross. It says in Matthew 16, 24, Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. Man. I'm kind of a dramatic person when you get to know me. And I really like to get into character when I think about Jesus. When I think about carrying your cross. I wish I had, you know, some sort of massive beam that I could, like, you know, lift up. I'm not sure I really could, right? I'm like a buck 45, and I'm a string bean, to be honest, you know? I don't have very many muscles. I sit here, and Pastor Paul must work out. Like, he's got some guns here. He really does. I'm just like, whoa, all right, boy, let's go, right? And I think about picking up that beam, that cross. I'm like, Jesus was a tough guy. He was tough, and that was not easy. And he had to walk through the crowds who were yelling at him, who were mocking him after being whipped and beaten. And I know we talk about the cross so much, but it is everything to me. I've never been in that kind of pain. But here, Jesus says, if you want to follow me, you got to take up your own cross too. No matter the difficulties or the hardships that we face. And I want to pause here. Those difficulties and hardships, I'm not trying to make them seem like they're not very hard and very difficult. A lot of times I hear people like, oh, it'll be okay. Don't worry about it. No, those things are very painful. They're very difficult. Maybe you've lost somebody that you love. That is a very painful, difficult thing. Maybe you've been in a divorce or a friendship that has just come crumbling down because of your love for Jesus. That is very painful. That is very difficult. I don't want to just skip over the hardships in your life. That's not what Jesus is telling us to do. He's telling us that I have suffered as well, that I am the suffering servant, and that I actually want to help you through your suffering. I want to be with you through your suffering, that you don't need to run from suffering, because when you're in your suffering, you're close to me. And when you're close to me, that is the safest place of all to be. Jesus modeled a life of sacrifice. He modeled a life of surrender. He modeled a life of preferring others. So, if I could get David to come up and play on guitar, I want to have a little moment this week where, you know, this service, where we just consider maybe our engagement with the habit of sacrifice. And when you're interrupted at the grocery store or at Ace Hardware, for all my men out there, got to go there every week. You guys know how it is. Even if I don't buy anything, I just like walking around, you know? It's like being there, all right? Makes me feel more manly. This week, when you're out and about and you are interrupted by somebody that you haven't seen in a long time, remember, hey, hi, ho, hey, ha. Maybe slow down a little bit. Look them in the eyes. Tell me how you're really doing. And see where that goes. Give a sacrifice of time and look for the opportunity to show love to that individual. Maybe when a family member calls you, maybe it's a family member you don't like so much, right? And they need help last minute, and they always need help last minute, and you always tell them, give me a little bit time, and they never do. Instead of letting your heart getting frustrated, let it get excited, because it's an opportunity to serve them the same way that Jesus serves us. And maybe when you're feeling that tug to go on a mission trip, so many incredible trips that even Hope Chapel offers, but your finances aren't necessarily, I don't know what word you want to use, good, right? They're not in abundance. And if things are tight, remember that it's always safer to be obedient with your than financially set, because the market could crash tomorrow and all of our money could be worthless. But the time that we invest, the money that we give into a missions trip, that can change lives. The next time that we come face to face with a moment where sacrifice is required of us, instead of like a wincing, I hope that there's like a smile that comes on our face. A smile. It's like, oh yeah, I know what you're doing, God. I know what's going on. Doesn't feel good, but this is really good. Because I know your love. And your love has changed me. And because of that, I want to love others. Because of that, I don't mind to be inconvenienced. Because of that, I know that this is a safe place. And that smile would allow us to know that we're exactly where we need to be. If you guys could stand with me as we bring the service to a close. I want to make an ask this morning. An ask that if you, after listening to this, have realized that you've been a little bit reserved to the habit of sacrifice, I want you just to bring that to the Lord this morning. And I want you to allow Him to reveal Jesus' sacrifice afresh so that you can, walking out of these doors, be prepared, be excited, be expectant for the moments of sacrifice that are to come. So just go ahead and close your eyes. And I just want you to do a little business with the Lord right now. Just search your heart. Be honest. God's not mad. He's not ready to, you know, give you a slap on the head or anything like that. If anything, when we see Him, He's like, hey, you remember these hands that have nails in their hand? This is how much I love you. So much I care about you. So if that's you this morning and you realize that I really want to embrace the habit of sacrifice, I just want you to raise your hand a little bit. And I'm asking you to raise your hand not because to prove anything, but it allows us to have a physical response to the spiritual interaction that's going on inside of us. So Lord, this morning, we thank you for the sacrifice of Christ. We thank you afresh for that his life that was poured out for us. And God, we ask for confidence this week. We ask for boldness this week. We ask for strength this week, that we would continue to lay down our lives the same way that you laid down your life for us. I ask that sacrifice would become a joy for every single one of us this morning. That sacrifice would bring us such pleasure, knowing that you are rejoicing in heaven when you see us follow in the same footsteps that your Son followed. Would we bear our cross this week? And would we live the habit of sacrifice? In Jesus' name.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe? Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.